with Fernando from SQL Server. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Thanks for joining us. So what is it that you do for SQL Server?
Well, first of all, I'm an international program manager, or some folks like to call me the globalization PM, or sometimes the pest. what I do basically is I do two things. One is I work at a feature level to ensure that we have the right feature sets for our worldwide community. And secondly, I work with the development teams, meaning test, PM, and developers, to ensure they understand how to basically create software for our global customers and be culturally correct with respect to each of the countries that we ship in.
Okay, interesting. So what are some examples of features that you've been responsible for, that you've had influence on to meet some of our global needs?
So I can think of one major one. In Katmai, which we just shipped, or SQL Server 2008, the collation, so how we sort and operate on the data.
Okay.
This was actually a feature that initially was part of the planning and scope of SQL Server 2008, but it got cut. Actually, it got cut while I was on paternity leave. I actually got a phone call at home telling me that it was cut during the time I was out. So that was kind of interesting.
How convenient.
Yeah, how convenient, exactly. But, you know, when I came back, I gathered a lot of data and actually worked to get it back into the product.
Great.
Which took about 5 months to convince our senior team to do it, but rightfully so. And then I was pretty much involved with the whole improvement. So I had to do a lot of technical work with the development teams and work with the improvement lead as well to ensure that the feature actually made it into the product. It was significant because we, for the first time, aligned ourselves with the operating system. So now we're in full alignment with all the collations that the operating system has in Vista and Longhorn.
Can you explain a little more just technically what the improvement is?
Sure. So, well, collations are fundamental to operating and installing SQL Server. So when you install SQL Server, you need to have a collation associated to both the server and the database. So either you let it pick whatever collation is for that locale, or you can select it yourself through the setup. And then when you operate on the data, inherently you're going to involve sorting on the data. So when you do queries, you can do a collate clause in the order by. So it's very important because users will expect their characters to be sorted either meaningfully linguistically and also correctly for their culture. So there's different collations for every market, essentially.
Interesting.
To give you an idea, we added 80 new collations in SQL Server 2008. So that's a pretty big bump from what we came from in SQL Server 2005.
So what do you mean culturally? So I can understand different languages and different character sets sort differently. It's not something I've ever spent a lot of time thinking about. But what do you mean culturally things may need to
good question.
Act differently?
So actually, you made a good point. Most people actually don't think about the sort orders until they've actually got themselves into trouble or they realize that for a specific country, whatever sort order they have in the database doesn't meet those demands. So when I say culturally, what I mean basically is each country has their own alphabet and their own character sets. Mm-hmm. There's some commonality in the Western languages with the Latin script, but inherently there are so many different characters throughout the world. And for each of those characters or character sets, there are conventions about how the data is sorted. So does A come before B and so forth? And they're quite complex, especially as you look at the East Asian languages or some of the bidirectional complex scripts. So in those countries, and even in the United States or even in the Western world, it's important to have the right sort order so that the data will appear accordingly to how the user would expect it to be.
Cool, interesting. So in 2008, what were some of the biggest challenges and accomplishments that you, looking back, feel?
Well, one was definitely getting our senior team or management team to understand and to get the improvement back into the product.
Right.
Because when they cut it, it was about a year already into the development.
Mm-hmm.
And so they weren't looking at adding features at that point. And so I had to face quite an uphill battle to, you know, obviously get all the right input data sets and to get the organization to understand that we needed to do this. So that was one huge challenge. It was enjoyable. I certainly enjoyed presenting to our VP several times,
right?
But it wasn't easy.
Right.
The other big challenges I think was it's such a big org. You know, we're 1,000 plus people. When I started 10 years ago, it was a couple hundred. You kind of knew everybody, was to get everybody to understand how to test the product and to have consistency across across all the product units. And that's quite a big challenge because you have to, one, respect their individualities and their own team cultures, but at the same time, you have to be able to allow them to get them to understand that they have to have some consistency in how they test for a global marketplace.
What are some of the basic principles for testing in the global marketplace, like you mentioned?
So there's a couple. One is you don't need to test for every culture. That would be quite an endeavor if you had to do that. So you try to pick representatives of cultures that are common. So to give an example, say single byte characters. So that's most of the Western world or the Latin scripts. So you don't need to test English, German, French. You can pick one of the languages and test for that specific language. And you have a fairly good assurance that across the board that will meet that those characters across that sort of range. And so one of the things is you want to make sure that you're covering the different characters across the world. So single byte, double byte, bidirectional, complex script, Cyrillic, and so forth. The other one is that the test suites obviously need to be geared for handling that data. So it's no good if you are testing for German but using Chinese characters. Or if you're testing for Chinese and you're using English characters, that doesn't validate the operations of SQL Server for those locales. So those are sort of the two main principles that I would say from a test side need to be sort of done.
Great. So I asked a similar question in, earlier. So if there's developers out there who are watching this who are having to localize in their own languages, what are some of your sort of words of advice for them to keep in mind when they're undertaking that part of the project?
One is never assume or hard code to a specific locale. So in reality, what makes globalization work is that you're locale independent.
Mm-hmm.
So never put pieces in the code where you're only understanding, say, U.S. English locale. That's great for the U.S., for the English-speaking world, but not great for anybody else. The second one is that there's already a lot of inherent support both on the native and managed side for globalization. So developers don't need to, A, reinvent the wheel, have custom APIs and so forth. They can use the globalization classes that exist in both worlds, and that should give them most of the support. The other one is think Unicode. As best as possible, try to maintain the environment end-to-end as Unicode so that you're not having to deal with the individual character sets as such and have to convert data and so forth. And the other is ask. Even though I'm just one person for SQL Server, that's a resource that they have available to them to get the information that they either don't understand or that they need.
Great. So if people want to learn more about localization, say they're not within Microsoft, do you know some like web resources or great
yes.
books? Or how does someone get into your field, and your profession?
Either by accident, like I did, or just by, like you said, there's definitely great resources. There's a book called Developing International Software. It's a second edition. I believe it was written by Nadine Kano. That's a great resource to get basically complete end-to-end understanding of what you do for globalization, localizability, and localization. There is actually a Microsoft website that's externally available that, again, walks you through everything you need to know. It used to be, I think, Microsoft.com Global Dev, but the link has changed. But if you go to Microsoft.com and search for globalization, I'm sure you'll be able to redirect it. Those are two off the top of my head great resources, both for external and internal, that you can use to get yourself familiarized with this.
Great. So SQL Server 2008 shipped 2 days ago now, I believe. So how's it feel?
It feels great. Being here for 10 years, I've seen, one, two, three, four releases, major releases, countless service packs. It feels good because compared to SQL Server 2005, where it was a long cycle, it caused a lot of churn. It was great to see the whole team come together, re-engineer itself, and make the product available within the timelines that we're committed externally. So it feels good to have another release under my belt. It's not the same as when I first released the first version that I was involved in, but nevertheless, it's been a great experience.
Great. Well, congratulations and thank you.
Thank you.